And welcome in, everybody. We are excited. Week two of the high school football playoffs, or round two of the high school football playoffs throughout the entire state of Tennessee. Welcome to the Game Blitzer, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We got you until midnight tonight. That's right, midnight. Run down all the scores for you. It's a huge night of high school football involving a lot of teams in Middle Tennessee. We'll have all the scores for you tonight. Later on, we'll have a bunch of coaches on the show. It's been so much fun doing this show the entire year. 6 years of intense, fun high school football coverage, and my goodness, we got a fun night tonight. Big Kenny behind the glass, making sure everything goes well tonight. I'm Big Joe, and my man Elijah Campbell down the line. Elijah, here we are, round two, man. If it's anything like round one was last week, we are in for a fantastic night of football, man. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. It's like round two is like round one, but we're gonna have more close games. I mean, you look at the schedule, I think kind of 35 or 36 games across the mid-state for teams in the playoffs tonight, and we're looking at 16 or 17 potential one score games. I have like list ranked of games that I have on my radar, and man, we had a lot of dream matchups, a couple in our own backyard, Joe, that we're shaping up for a couple of really, really fun, like to call it the witching hour window, where we're going to have some really close fourth quarters throughout the state. And you know what my favorite part about tonight is, Joe?
What's that, buddy?
I'll see if you can guess first.
My
favorite part.
The fact that you get to spend 6 hours with me?
That is the favorite part every week. It's never changed. That has been our constant since August 19th. However, my favorite part about tonight, Joe, is we fully get to have a complete across the state board of games to talk about, because you know, in the regular season you're mostly talking a strictly Middle Tennessee, you know, show. But now we're getting to the point in the playoffs where East is meeting West, or Middle is meeting East, or Middle is meeting West. We have so many inter-Tennessee regional games tonight that it's getting down to that, where the state championship picture is starting to form a little bit. And that is so exciting. I'm pumped for it.
All right, you know, I tell you what, you know, we've jumped on the bandwagon this entire year of high school football teams. You jumped early on Henry County, you know, at Pearl Cone. We've jumped on them all year long. But you know what, tonight I want Brentwood to go down to Memphis and knock off Bartlett. Mm-hmm. That way they have a home game next week, and the winner of Germantown-Houston in the west side of the state has got to come back to Middle Tennessee. So tonight I'm all in on Brentwood, the Brentwood Bruins, until they knock off Bartlett. It's going to be a tough game for them down there. They got to go on the road. But, I mean, we talked last week about this Brentwood football team. They're sneaky good. They're not fantastic. They're not bad. They're just play their game of football, and that defense is good, Elijah. And I'd love to see them go down there and just wreck that bracket down in Memphis.
Oh, they would absolutely wreck it. You know what gives me hope that they can win this, though? If you want to look at it from, you know, a strictly matchup perspective, what's the one thing in football that travels best, Joe Dubin?
Defense.
Defense travels so well. And this is the same Brentwood team at the beginning of the year held the best offense in the state in Blackman to 14 points. Ooh. Held Father Ryan to 10 in a losing effort. But if you look down the line, they've had, you know, they shut out Summit, held Henry County to 14 points. That's not an easy.
Right.
They beat Henry County, and they, one of the few teams that actually beat them by holding them to 12, not 14. They held them to 12 points. I misspoke. Held Independence to 23. You know, held Centennial to 9 in the game that won them a home playoff game.
Wow.
And then last against Collierville, they held them to 7. So if there's any team that's equipped to go across the state and hold a good offense to a number that is easily surpassable, this Brentwood Bruin team is definitely up there.
I totally agree. Coming throughout this first hour before we get the games kick off at 7 o'clock, we have some coaches going to join us. Fred Burnett, head coach of McGavick, is going to join us at 6:15. His team lost a beach last week, but they played Clarksville, Cane Ridge, Smyrna, so he's got a really good understanding of 6A football. Then we'll talk to Brian Rector, the head coach at Father Ryan, who plays in what probably the SEC West of high school football every week. It's a tough game for them. So the coach will join us now at 6:30. Now, at 6:45, Elijah, our Junie Riddle, is it a game that I wish I could grab me, you, and Kenny, get a helicopter, and head to Waverly, because Waverly in East Nashville tonight is going to be a fantastic football game down in 3A.
Oh, man. See, 3A is so wide open, and it's funny. The reason why I love the 3A bracket is because you have a couple of contenders playing tonight. Four teams that can legitimately win state, or give Alcoa the best game possible, are all playing against each other tonight, because they play in the two regions next to each other. But the East National Waverly game is so much fun. East National's got a lot of struggles. Coach Stewart came on with us last week and talked about, you know, that they kind of have some offensive line shuffling around, some really young players playing at really important positions. And there's been a little bit of a learning curve, but if there's anything that can give you confidence, it's beating a good White House team in the first round of the playoffs before having to play Waverly. And if you remember, White House gave Waverly everything they could handle when they played on MyTV 30 earlier in the season.
Right.
That's not going to be an easy game for East Nashville to go to Waverly and win. That is a dominant region championship team. And East Nashville, at their best, has looked like a state championship caliber winning team. So to see those two teams clash is going to be a lot of fun. Judy is definitely at the game that I believe might end up being the best, because you know the atmosphere in Waverly is going to be off the hook.
Yeah, right.
I mean, he's going to get to experience something really special tonight. I'm envious of that.
I love it. Now we're going to 5A tonight. Huge game out in Wilson County. Page and Mount Juliet tonight. That's mm-hmm. a big game. Mount Juliet starting the roll. They beat Lincoln County last week, 43-6. Page took down Green Hill, 48-21. So you got two very good programs, two very good coaches. That's going to be a battle. But a game, to me, Elijah, that people are overlooking, White County travels to Nolensville. Nolensville is undefeated. They're good. But mm-hmm. we follow this White County team all year long, and if one thing we know about White County and the football team from Sparta, they like to score points. And I don't know if Nolensville's seen something like this tonight. Now, I'm not saying White County's going to go down to Nolensville and just roll over them tonight, but at the same time, White County, I mean, they dropped 49 last week, beat Franklin County 49-30. This is going to be a very interesting football game, because Nolensville better buckle in, because White County's going to bring the points tonight.
Oh, and White County might be the only modern team in football that's not in 1 or 2A that scores 49 points in a game and does so without throwing the ball once, attempting to throw the ball once. In the year of our Lord 2022, Joe Dubin, the year of the RPO and the play action and that has spread all throughout high school football, White County is still like the four horsemen of the apocalypse, like Notre Dame style out here playing, you know, vicious run game and wrecking people with it. And Malachi Dowell, who has an incredible case to be Mr. Football in 5A, he is what, 452 yards away from breaking Jalen Hurd's record. Now, obviously,
wow,
he's ran over 400 yards in a game this season before. It's a tall task to ask that against Nolensville. And I don't think he breaks that record, but that's just putting you in perspective the kind of season he's had, right? And I was on WQKR on Wednesday night.
Get it, man.
For
look
their
at
sports
you.
Show. And yeah, see, look at that. I do the show with Joe Dubin, and then now my phone won't quit blowing up.
Right.
I got to turn this mess off after 9 o'clock because I got to get some sleep somehow, right?
Yes.
But I joined them, and they asked, what's the best story in Tennessee high school football so far? And I told them, if you want to have a Gus Johnson's the slipper still fits kind of team, it's White County, because they're the Kansas of Tennessee high school football. Basketball powerhouse, basketball blue blood, never won a football playoff football game.
Wow.
Ever, until this past Friday night. And now they have a chance to play against 11-0 Nolensville and completely shock the world on the road. If they're able to pull this off, Joe, I'm not saying that they're going to. If they're able
right.
to, we're talking about one of the better Cinderella stories that we've seen in the state of Tennessee in a long, long time.
Oh, my goodness. At the bottom half of the bracket in 5A, our friends at Henry County host Portland tonight. Springfield goes on the road to take on Munford. Let's go back to the Henry County bracket, a team that we've been on the bandwagon since week one. Now, Portland went down and knocked off Southland. It was a huge win for them. Henry County played Portland a few weeks ago. I don't expect Henry County to have too much trouble tonight, but as one coach told us last week, I forget who it is, if you're still playing on Friday night now, you need to be taken seriously. So I'm sure Coach Counts at Henry County looks at this game, but it looks like Henry County and Springfield on a collision course. But Portland, you know, I mean, nope, we did not think they'd go to a knockoff Southwind down in Memphis, and they win. So that's going to be a very interesting game because they just played a few weeks ago. Portland, you know, has got to now travel to Henry County. That should be a lot of fun. That's a great atmosphere up there. So Henry County should be looking out for a very confident Portland team. But you've liked Henry County from week one, Elijah.
Oh, absolutely. They got one of the best combinations of talent, experience, great coaching, and a team that is continuing a role at the right place at the right time. They were, what, a five-loss regular season team last year. They
made
the playoffs at 5-5 and made a run to the quarterfinals before having to run into the semifinals, I think it was, where they ran into the buzzsaw that is Page and lost in what felt like quadruple overtime. I mean, it was multiple overtimes. And a game that was in the 50s. It was an all-time game of the century type deal, you know? And that was a team that lost five games in the regular season, Joe. They might be the greatest 8-6 teams we've ever seen.
Right.
But they got on a roll at the end of the season, and just rode this wave. They figured some stuff out, and they got a lot of those players back, and they arguably have the best offensive line. And Luke Brown of the entire state, kid's going to go play at Arkansas. He's obviously big dude, big monstrous man, and he clears the way for their running game. And I've loved that combination all year long. Do I think they beat Portland 47-0 like they did a couple weeks ago? Probably not, because Coach Wes Sinnemann and the Panthers are probably going to empty the clip when it comes to the playbook tonight. Yeah. And I think you're going to be able to see them maybe hang in there for a couple quarters, but Henry County is still my favorite to win 5A state. And Springfield has to go on the road and play an undefeated Munford team. If you want to look at an underrated game tonight, Springfield at Munford could be a bloodbath. Ooh. In terms of just two teams just slugging each other for four quarters. That one is going to be an incredible game. Munford has not seen anybody like Springfield this year.
You're They've right.
Been really good. One of the best teams in 5A, one of the few undefeated teams left in 5A, but they have not seen a team with a defense like Springfield has, and they're going to have a wake-up call tonight. That's going to be a fun game.
I love it. All right, we'll take our first break. On the other side, McGavick head football coach Fred Burnett's going to join us. He had the unenviable task of taking on Clarksville and Beach and Cane Ridge and all those tough schools in 6A in the mid-state. Mm-hmm. We'll get his perspective up next. So sit back, enjoy the ride with you to midnight tonight. This is our 14th week of the high school football season, and we absolutely love it. We got you all night. This show is brought to you by our good friends at Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy right here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz here on 102.5, 106 through the game. Big Kenny, Big Joe, and Elijah Campbell with you till midnight tonight. Round two of the high school football playoffs taking place a little bit. Some games have kicked off in the eastern part of our state, so we'll get some scores for you as they come in tonight. Now, we want to get the insights. We did it last week with our good friend Coach Brian Coleman at Summit, his perspective on the teams in Williamson County, and he was dead on last week about these games, and everything was fantastic. So now we bring in who I think is the greatest high school football coach in America at the greatest high school, McGavick. Head coach Fred Burnett's going to join us with his insight on the 6A teams left in Middle Tennessee in the playoffs. Coach Burnett, how are you, and thank you for doing this.
How you guys doing? Thanks for having me tonight.
Absolutely. Coach, let's talk about, before we get into everything, congratulations. I mean, 7-3, you get to the playoffs. Not every team could say that. So congratulations on a nice season of getting to the extra season, Coach. Well done.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. Thanks again. Thanks on congratulating me on the year. So we learned a lot this year. We had some times of adversity we had to overcome. So the guys are looking forward to what we're going to do next year. So right now we're in the process of trying to build a schedule, as you know, and got a lot of the younger players asking when we're getting in the weight room. I told them, I said, hey, man, take a break, go rest your bodies, and give us coaches some time to spend some time with our family.
Right. <know? laughs> Well done. All right, Coach, a few questions Elijah and I got for tonight. I'll start off with a few right now. Last week you went and took on Beach, and you know what a good program they are. You know, you got beat 49-22. That's a heck of a program out there. What is it about Beach that's hard to stop, Coach?
Well, you can tell on film, and I, you know, studying the film leading up into the game, that they are their one chain link that moves on defense. Everybody swarms to the ball. The kids feel well. They know they got responsibilities. They do a good job on defense, and they have 11 hats to the ball. And it's not a lot of things you can do. You can't go backwards against them. You have to go positive. Everything has to be moving forward. They jumped out on us pretty quick, you know, self-inflicted gunshot wounds, just block kicks, punt, kicking the person protecting the back with the ball. It was 21-0 quick just because of some mistakes we made, but I hats off to those guys defensively, you know. They did a great job stopping some of the things that we were trying to do against them. You know, you study a team on film, but it's totally different once you get on the field and see it live.
Tell me,
they do a good job.
Tell me about that wing tee that they've run for years over there that a lot of teams run that you think after 75 years we'll be able to stop the wing tee. But, Coach, tell me how well, in your opinion, how well they run that offense, because it seems like every time, like you talked about, before you know it, you're down 21 to nothing. How well do they run that offense?
They do it well. They do a lot of things. They do a lot of things, mirror dressing, different things they throw at you. They change, shift formation, shift the tight ends, fullbacks around, to kind of get an off balance and an end over look, and their running backs do a good job of hiding behind those big linemen. I can say they do a good job of keeping those linemen fresh. And, you know, it's always a good thing to have depth up front. You know, I'm not sure if they had defensive linemen going both ways. So, you know, it's a great job of movement, and you can't really dictate what they're going to do. They throw a lot of different things at you. You're thinking that they're going to run to the strong side a lot, but sometimes they run weak and they get positive yards. And, you know, they run the clock. They run the clock on you to keep the ball out of your hands. And they throw the ball sometimes, but it's really a run-first offense. But their play-action game, when their running game is clicking really well, then you're in trouble as a defense, because next thing you know, they're going to play-action you. And number one, he's small, but that guy, he packs a punch. He hit us quick last week as well. So they do a lot of good things, and their offense can be lightning in the ball as well. Depends on, you know, where they are as far as on the field.
Talking to Coach Fred Burnett of McGavick High School, the Fighting Joe Dubins. And, Coach, one team I want to ask you about is Cane Ridge. I mean, they ran through Gallatin last week, 48-0. Obviously, the winner of y'all's region. Offensively, they're one of the more impressive teams to me in 6A. So from a coach's standpoint, what makes them so hard to have to face offensively?
Man, Coach Woods, you know, we played together in college. So a lot of the things, we kind of similar. But, you know, we all have our little wrinkles that we've added over time. But they do a good job of running. They can hit you with the running game and the passing game. They have good low in the backfield. They have Moles Phillips on the outside, number one on the outside as well. And the one thing that a lot of people say this kid is an all-around player, which he is, but their quarterback, he keeps plays alive. He can run the ball if he needs to. He can make the pass if he needs to. As long as he is making the plays from that position, they're really hard to stop offensively. And Coach Woods does a great job as well as showing you different formations, running the ball very well. His offensive line is pretty strong, and, you know, his play-action game is solid as well. So those guys at Cane Ridge, I think, has a great chance of advancing in 6A and making some noise. Their defense is solid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that defense hasn't given up a point since, let's see, since October 7th. They have not given up any points since October 7th when they played John Overton.
I didn't know that. Yeah, they are a good defense as well. They're tough. They got two big pluggers in the middle and run that four-man frame. Those two D tackles. And then you got Mr. Jalen Johnson on the outside at DN, and it's tough. It's tough.
Yeah, and I guess one more question I have about Cane Ridge is Jalen Johnson, he made, of course, a highlight reel catch to begin the year in their game against Pearl Cone, a one-handed snag. And, like, he's a monster on defense, a monster on offense. Just how special is it to watch that kid? And what kind of difference does he make each Friday night?
Man, he is definitely a difference maker. You know, we try to use our speed to our advantage. I remember playing him in week three, and he's usually like a stand-up end. And it looks like they kind of give him the leeway to kind of – one time he lined up over the slot and kind of blitzed from like a slot position one time. I mean, his presence, his football knowledge, I think, is what gives him the advantage over a lot of people. You can tell by the way he plays the game that he has a good understanding of it. He has a good understanding of what plays may be coming, and he has that long length to where he put his hands up, deflect passes. And then he has a great pass rush moves when it's like a down and distance type thing, third and long, when he kind of, you can dictate what an offense is going to do based on the distance that they have to go. And he can get to the quarterback. He can do a lot of different things. And on the offensive side, he allows Coach Woods to kind of keep a lot of the same personnel group is in, because he can flex out and line up as a receiver. He's an H-back, you know, and he can be an H-back and block for the run game. he can do a lot of different things. So a guy like that in high school is very important and very special, and it's something that a lot of people don't have.
We're talking to McGavin Kiff, head football coach Fred Burnett, with his unique perspective on football teams in 6A. All right, Coach, let's talk about Clarksville. You got him in week one. You took him down 26-21. They started out 2-3, and then something clicked. They've won 6 straight games now, including beating Overton last week in the playoffs. Now they take on Cane Ridge. Tell me about what you remember about Clarksville. I know it's been a long time now, 2.5 months, though, ago, but you know, they've got a tall task tonight. But as some coach told us last week, Coach, is that if you're still playing on Friday nights in November, everybody's good. So Clarksville, tell me about what you remember about them.
Well, you know, Clarksville, that was the opening game for both teams. I think both of us had like 3 turnovers each. It was a lot of mistakes on both sides. But one thing I can tell you about Clarksville, they're going to line up in the double wing, and they're going to come downhill, and they're going to try to punch you in the mouth. So it's going to be a run first. You know, once the run game is going well, they'll play action you and those wingbacks to get behind you on the pass. But those guys have a great running system. The quarterback does a great job of running the dive option pretty well with the running back coming around. It's like an orbit motion type play, like the old school option type play that we had back in the day.
Yeah.
And they do a great job. Their offensive linemen, they, you know, they get hip to hip, shoe to shoe. And they create great double teams, and they win a lot of percentage of those double teams. I think one thing we did well against their defense, you can't get behind the chains on them. And we kind of spreaded them out and used our speed against them. But it's tough when they can run the ball. If they get their running game going, it can be a long night. But if you can kind of get them in like a second and long, third and long, you can kind of dictate and try to make them throw. I don't think that's what they really want to do. But if they can stay ahead of the chain, 2nd and 2, 2nd and 1, 2nd and 3, and just give the ball to number 6 and go downhill from the backfield with the dive, then they're going to continue to do that. They're going to eat up the clock, get a short field, play solid defense, and they're going to try to score points from the running game.
That's going to be a fun game, Coach. Hey, Coach, thank you for taking time on a Friday night to give you perspective. We love it, and what great insight you've given us, Coach. Thank you, and we'll talk to you soon, Coach.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great night. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. McGavin Kiff, Coach Fred Burnett with a great insight there. I like what he said about Clarksville. I know they've got a tough task tonight, Elijah, taking what might be the best football team, what is one of the best football teams in the state, in Cane Ridge. But I like that description, just toe-to-toe, shoulder-to-shoulder, and going to just run downhill on you. Should be a good game tonight. I'm not sure how much that Clarksville can keep up with the horses at Cane Ridge. But, you know, again, anything can happen.
You know, a momentum can be a real thing sometimes. This Clarksville team is one of those teams that just got hot and starts playing well late. It's the last season Henry County syndrome, I would like to call it, just because you're playing your best ball right now and you can beat anybody when your offense is able to dictate the terms of the game like they can at times. So it's going to be interesting to see how they move the sticks and able to use that to their advantage and kind of use Coach Burnett's game plan, so to speak. That's a very underrated game. I think that's the best matchup per se that we have in 6A, that and Beach Smyrna.
I it's gonna be a lot of fun. All right, we'll take a break. On the other side, we'll talk to Father Ryan Heffelbaugh coach Brian Rector, get his unique perspective on the teams in the Division II that have played tonight. He battled a lot of teams this year, so it'll be good to talk to Coach Rector. That's next. You're listening to the Game Blitz right here on 102.5 106.3 The Game, brought to you by National Playmakers Academy and Apple Collision Center. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Many thanks to McGavin Kiff, but Coach Fred Burnett with that perspective on the teams. So we thought we'd get another perspective from one of my favorite coaches around, head coach at Father Ryan. Brian Rector joins us. Coach, how are you tonight, and thank you.
Hey, yeah, sure. Thanks for having me. I'm doing well.
Absolutely. I look at your schedule. My goodness, just loaded top to bottom with so many teams that are in the playoffs. I want to start with a team that you guys beat, who I think might go all the way in 6A, Brentwood High School. Coach, tell me about what you remember about Brentwood. You played them a long time ago. You beat them 10-7, but that's what a great football team that is, and it's no surprise they are where they are, right?
Right. No surprise at all. Super, super strong on defense. They had a really off night offensively, and so did we. So it was one of those sort of ugly early season football games where first downs were super hard to come by, and both teams were just playing really good defense. And we were just lucky enough. The quarterback got out, JoJo Crump got out, and went the distance one time, and then we managed to sneak a ball across the upright for a field goal, and that was the difference. So, heck of a game, heck of a hard fought game.
I'm looking. Did they kind of dictate how the game went? Because I'm looking. They had six of their 10 games that they've played. I'm sorry, six of their 11. They've held teams under 10 points. They dictate kind of what was going on.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how it was. You know, both ways to go. I mean, you can say it was good defense. You can say the offenses struggled. It's probably a little bit of both, to be honest with you. And I'm sure both teams would like to redo that game just so you could see if you couldn't maybe have a little bit more success offensively. But it wouldn't be a shock if either way it would be, you know, tight and a defensive battle. So, yeah, very good defensive team there for sure. Was not shocked at all to see hear about their win last week and wish them the best of luck this week.
Talking to Coach Brian Rector from Father Ryan, his team is one of the hardest schedules in the entire country, I would say. They're playing a lot of these teams that we're going to be talking about in Division II, 3A. And one of them that I want to talk about, Coach, is Pope John Paul. Obviously, you met them on September 2nd this year. And before they kind of got riddled with the injury bug, they're a little more fully healthy now. So they're a little closer to what they were at the beginning of the season. But how electric can that Pope John Paul offense be whenever they're fully healthy and clicking? They got a game at Brentwood Academy tonight. That one should be a pretty fun game.
I would think so. I'll be watching it. I just looked and saw that it's on the TV, so I'll be watching that one. Very interested, just as a football fan, to see that. They're super electric. Kenny Minchie's the best quarterback we faced all year long as a pure quarterback, you know, from a passer and just an athlete standpoint. He was really good the night that we played them. Their two receivers, Cook and Maylander, were way more than we could handle, and then the running back was superb. Their O-line did a great job. I mean, you got to defend everything with those guys. And, you know, it's one thing to have one good receiver, but when you have two really good receivers and a really good running back and the best quarterback, I think, in the state, yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's real tough. And if they're at full speed and if they're at full health, good luck is what I would basically say. Yeah.
Yeah, sounds like a pick your poison kind of deal with that team. For so it'll sure. be fun to watch them against Brentwood Academy tonight. And another one, Coach, I mean, you guys squared off against McCauley and gave them a really good game. McCauley's playing at Ensworth tonight. Another fun one in town for a lot of people to go to. That should be a thrilling game. McCauley, obviously, state champs last year. What kind of a challenge do they present to Ensworth? And what's Ensworth going to have to do to be able to overcome them and be able to move on?
Well, great question. I've only seen Ensworth on film, not in person. I know, obviously, Rock Batten and several of the guys that are on his team and his coaching staff, they do a great job. Ralph Potter at McCauley does an excellent job. You know, they just do such a good job of getting dudes in there that can play. You know, the box for McCauley is really solid. Their run game and their offensive line is just really good. And if Ensworth can stop or slow down that running game, I would think they would have or could have a really good shot. Defensively, McCauley this year was really good in the box, so running the ball against them is probably not something that they're going to do, but I know that Ensworth has a talented and experienced quarterback. They've got you know, one of the highest ranked in terms of the stars and all that stuff, receivers. If they can have a game right there between those two dudes and protect the quarterback really well, that one could be, you know, an interesting game. But I'll just say this. If McCauley's box on both sides of the ball is very successful, it will go the way of the tornado for sure.
We're talking to Ryan Hippelwell, Coach Brian Rector. And, Coach, I was looking at your first five games of the season, and you got five teams, or four of these five could win the state championship. You got East, you got Brentwood, you had played Cane Ridge, and MBA. What I love about this is that one of the best teams in the state is Cane Ridge at 6A. You handled that team very well. What was working for you that night to take down what I think is a team that could go all the way in 6A and Cane Ridge?
Man, I don't know, but I wish it would have worked for us a few more games. I'll tell you that right now. It was, you know, that I'm going to be honest with you. That one kind of baffles me. I think we just had a really good night, and I think they had an off night. We were able to get some to split their defense a little bit with some outside runs to one side while reading the backside with bubble screens and quarterback pulls, and we were just, I think that night we just had a really good night of keeping their defense off balance. But they did a great job of scoring against us as well, and so that thing was a real dogfight. You know, I mean, we did get out on them early, thank goodness, but they made a massive comeback, and that was like a 7-point game with a few minutes left. And I think we may have put one up late. I can't remember exactly, but that's a really talented football team. It is no shock to me that they are sitting where they are right now. Not at all.
What is Eddie, you know, the head coach Eddie Woods, what does he do so well with when he gets those guys in the program that makes them go? Because, you know, for, you know, coach, you won a state championship. You know what it takes to get to that elite level. They got there a few years ago and lost in 6A. But what does he do so well when he gets these young men in the program?
He's one of the best around. I'm telling you, he's one of the best around at really just developing the kids from the time they're freshmen all the way up to their senior year. I think that he really gets them to keep their heads on straight. And I think that they're as fundamental and solid around Nashville as you're going to see. You know, they play with heart, they play with character, and so, like a lot of coaches, when you have some pretty good players like he does this year, you have a really good year, and that's exactly what they're doing, the Ravens. And it, again, it's no surprise. I have a lot of respect for Eddie Woods. He does a fantastic job, and to me is one of the best out there.
Mm-hmm. Coach, last one for me. You talked about Kenny Minchie earlier with Pope John Paul and just the amazing talent that he is as a quarterback. NBA, you got to face off against Marcel Reed as well, and Marcel's put on a show in so many of these games this season. For those who haven't had the privilege to watch him play football, what's it like having to prepare against NBA's offense and Marcel?
Oh, it's an absolute nightmare is what it is, okay? I mean, we're just, you know, we're a week away from Halloween, and that's about what it is, okay? It's an absolute nightmare. He's, in my mind, the region player of the year, hands down. He is NBA. You know, he's been there since he was, like, in sixth or seventh grade. I've been, you know, watching him play for a long time and coaching, you know, unfortunately, against him for several years. And what I like about him the most, obviously he's a great athlete, but he just, you watch him play football, and then you go watch him play basketball. The dude is just really, he's just cool as a cucumber. He's never nervous. He's never out of sorts. It doesn't matter what he's doing, whether he's, you know, back there in the pocket or reading an edge. He just gets the job done, and he makes it look easy, but it's not. It's not, and he's just that good an athlete. I mean, we could not tackle him in a phone booth. We played him, and he by far was the difference, and he's been the difference in every game that NBA has played. Their defense is fantastic, but Marcel is absolutely the reason for their success this year, and he's, like I said, he's been there since he was in sixth grade. So Christian Brothers will have their hands full tonight, I would think.
Sounds like we need to help Marcel when he moves to Ole Miss. That way we know for sure he's not going to come back to NBA next year, right?
Oh, please, please, please. Okay. Glad there's no COVID extra years
right.
For the high schoolers, you know.
So. Oh, my goodness.
No Coach, super seniors.
Yeah. Coach Rector, thank you for this insight. We love it, man. And I really hope Brentwood or Cane Ridge goes all the way just so you can
sure.
smile a little bit and say, we took them down.
You got it. You got it. That's exactly right. You know, that's the only saving grace we got left. But we're rooting for them. They're good dudes. They're good people, and they're great programs.
All right, Coach, thank you. We'll talk to you soon. Always appreciate you.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, that is Coach Brian Rector at Father Ryan. And it's crazy. Look at that schedule, Elijah, knocking off. I mean, not just beating Cane Ridge, but beating Cane Ridge and then beating
by 20 points.
Yeah, and then beating Brentwood. So if I'm Brian Rector and the head coach, I'd love to see Brentwood or, like I said, Brentwood or Cane Ridge will home thing. All right, Elijah, we'll take a break. Coming up next, we're going to go to our friends over in West Tennessee. We're going to go to Waverly, which we think is going to be the best game of the night. Our Junie Riddle is over in Waverly. We'll talk to him next. It's going to be a fun night. Round two of the high school football playoffs. You're listening to the Game Blitz right here on 102.5, 106.3 of the game, brought to you by National Playmakers Academy and Apple Collision Center. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz Show, 102.5, 106.3 of the game. Big Joe alongside Big Kenny and Elijah Campbell. We're with you till midnight tonight, round two of the high school football playoffs. And my goodness, we got some great games tonight, including over in Waverly as they host East Nashville tonight. Our own Junie Riddle is there. And Junie, what an atmosphere that's got to be tonight, my man.
Oh, it is a great atmosphere for high school playoff football. The temperature has dropped into the low 40s. High 30s for tonight, Joe Dubin. No more 60 degrees and sunshine for these boys out here. This is the time where it matters, and we have two powerhouses in 3A, a state championship-esque kind of matchup between two teams that I could see easily making it to the big game. It's going to be a big one. We already see a bunch of fans piling in. Even a lot of East Nashville fans have gotten over to the visitor side for this one. So highly anticipated matchup between two teams that are really big-time contenders in this class.
All right, let me ask you this, Junie. You've never been to Waverly before. I've been there many times. It is everything that small-town football is all about. Give me your thoughts when you were driving in today or tonight to that city and see it alive with high school football fever.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, you know this is a good small town when you have to take back roads for majority of the trip to get here. And I did that through Nashville rush hour, Friday, 5 o'clock traffic. So give me my props. I made it here. But this place is special. I mean, when you're parking out in a field to walk over to get to the stadium, you know this is some good old-fashioned football. This team in this town has experienced a lot of stuff through the flooding last year. They had to play all their games on the road going 9-1. Last season, they go 9-1 again. This season, winning their district, being an absolute contender. A lot of good guys here. They've got a really good wide receiver in Landon Dooley, who a lot of people are talking about. Another one, their quarterback, number 18, Hobby Griffin, is another big-time player. Now, I'm going to pause here because we're doing the national anthem.
Okay, Elijah and I will talk.
We can filibuster.
You come back.
Yeah,
to us
we
in
can
the
filibuster a little bit while the national anthem goes on. That's like what 94 seconds.
Yeah,
roughly.
Yeah. Joe? Put the phone on mute there, Junie. As we do this, I want to talk. I don't want to talk over the anthem. But we didn't talk about this, but we both agree this was the game of the night just because of what Waverly's done this year, what East Nashville's done this year, and having East Nashville travel to Waverly in that great environment over there. I'm really looking forward to this game tonight.
I'm looking forward to a lot of things. And there's a matchup here that I know Junie's probably looking for as well, and that's going to be the line of scrimmage, especially when East Nashville has the ball. We talked to Coach Stewart last week after their win against White House, and they've had some major reshuffling on the offensive line with some freshmen and sophomores playing some really important spots. If Waverly's able to create pressure, I mean, they're probably going to have the edge in this game. If those sophomores grow up a little bit, between last week to this week, and they're able to keep a clean pocket and be able to get some good push on the line of scrimmage for during the run game, then we're going to get ourselves an absolute classic. I think that's really where the game can be won and lost for either side. That's probably the most crucial matchup.
But sure,
that's going to be a fun one to watch. And
are we still there, fellas? Still there?
Yeah. Hey, Jim.
Absolutely.
Welcome back.
I am so sorry. I'm so sorry about that, guys.
Do not apologize for that.
National anthem. You know, we gotta We got to keep it quiet up here in the press box.
Amen.
Yeah. Again, a lot of people are excited. I was going and getting into the Waverly's Hobby Griffin here, a dual threat quarterback who's going to be a huge aspect of this offense tonight, paired with his running back back there. Ethan Elliott and Bryce Stanfield are going to be splitting it back there, going to be leaning towards the run game. But like Elijah was just saying, this line of scrimmage battle is going to be crucial. They have a guy, if I pronounce this kid's name right, I've never seen this name in my life, Vic Alaya Galloway on the defensive line. And then as a linebacker, we got Abram McMurray. These guys apparently are for sure tacklers on the defensive end who are going to make absolutely big plays. But on the East Nashville side, guys, we've talked about these guys all year long, being the class of 6A. Up until they fell to Riverdale and Smith County in October, we were talking about this is probably the best team in 3A. So, I mean, with guys mm-hmm. like Zach Beard, I mean, 6-foot quarterback, but he's built like a steam engine. He's almost like a running back back there playing quarterback, but with a strong arm. Has deep threats with Bobby Joyner, Frank Gordon, and an excellent running game with Traquan Waters. So the difference between these two teams is going to be very slim. I expect a very short game, but the one key factor in this game, it's an X factor, and I would only know this from covering East Nashville week one against Father Ryan, is East Nashville doesn't kick extra points very well. When I'm talking to the guys over here at Waverly High School, they point out one of their better players being their kicker. His name is Mateo Batslider, and this kid apparently is a really good kicker. So this game, being as close as it is, as an equal matchup, it could come down to the kicking game, fellas. I will definitely be keeping you posted all night long on this. I expect a really, really close, tight matchup.
I mean, that could be a big key here in this game, especially when it comes down to extra points or two-point conversions. It's definitely something to look for. And now, the White House running back to Eason. Kids ran for over 2,000 yards this year. I mean, we've gotten a lot of good info about him this year. You've seen East Nashville's defense play. What do you think is going to be the biggest or most important thing that they're going to have to do to be able to make sure he doesn't completely take over the game tonight?
Well, just as, you know, Waverly has a really good defensive line against a struggling East Nashville offensive line, that means that this East Nashville defensive line is going to have to step up. When they played Father Ryan earlier this year, I haven't got to get a look at that defensive line since then, so I assume that they've improved. But, you know, Father Ryan wanted to run the ball a lot on them. That's primarily what they wanted to do. And all that entire first half, when East Nashville went up 24-0 in that game, they were constantly shutting them down, limiting the opportunities they could do, making them one-dimensional, making Father Ryan's younger quarterback that he had at the time, you know, throw the ball. And that's really what kind of gave them that early lead. If East Nashville can do the same thing that they did in that game that they do tonight, then I expect this game to, one, be pretty low scoring with these two defenses, and number two, keep East Nashville in this game. This is a pretty hectic road environment. They're going to have the crowd advantage out here at Waverly. They have a lot to play for. You know, they didn't get to play in their home stadium at all last year. Now they're playing a big-time home playoff matchup that if they win this game, they feel like that they have a really good shot to go towards the state title here in the class of 3A. So a lot of interesting matchups here on the line of scrimmage. The one X factor outside of the kicker is going to be, can Zach Beard get big plays in the passing game? In their losses, they got costly turnovers in the red zone. It's going to be very, very pivotal that Coach Stewart and company for the East Nashville Eagles, that they get it done when they get down the red zone, and that Zach Beard hits his big-time receivers, Frank Gordon and Bobby Joyner.
Well, Junie, it's going to be a fun night there, man. I'm really, again, I was jealous last week where you got to go, and Elijah and I are jealous this week. So sit back. Hey, real quick, did you get your seat in the press box?
Oh, I did. I have my own cubicle in here, and I even got a piece of paper with my name on it. So, listen, that has yet to happen
yes.
all day. So I'm going to start asking you to pull some more strings for me, Big Joe, because I can see you got the pull.
I just went to high school with a lot of people that are doing really good in this world. So in the athletic field, so it works out good. Junie, thank you. Check back in all night long, brother.
Will do, guys. Y'all keep killing the show.
All right. Thank you, Junie. Hey, Elijah, before we go to the break, I want to ask you about this. And To show you, this is what I like about high school football. In the NFL, it doesn't. Every game does not matter in the NFL. College football is getting to the point where every game does not matter. High school football, region games matter. And you go back, the reason we like this East Natural Waverly game, and reason East Natural's got to go to Waverly, they lost to Smith County, a region game, by 1 point. Had they won that game, this game would be at East Nashville tonight. It'd be a whole different ball games. That's why we love high school football.
It is. It is. And it's you have that element and the element of chance, too, because we've been doing enough reshuffling of regions here across the state that it's not going to be the same forever. But we have been blessed with these two regions being paired with each other. And the top two teams in both of these regions being two of the best in the entire classification. I mean, Smith County's no joke either, because obviously they beat East Nashville to force East Nashville to have to play at Waverly. And then, of course, Fairview gave Waverly an incredible game. They were on a collision course all season long to play for a region title in the last week of the season. They're going to have to go to Smith County, which will be an incredibly raucous environment. Another game I wish I could, you know, clone myself and be able to send one of me's to Carthage to go see that game, because that's one of my favorite venues in the entire state to watch a high school football game. And that game's going to be bonkers tonight, too. So we got really lucky with the last week of the regular season mattering for both. For Smith County and East Nashville, they played in the last week of the regular season. Waverly, Fairview, same thing. Had the exact same ordeal. And those two games, Joe, on the last week of the season, week 11, prepared us for what we have tonight, which is an absolute gift, a blessing, as my Baptist roots would tell me this is. And these are the best games tonight. I mean, if you want to look at it, the 3A has got two of the best gems that we have throughout the entire state tonight. And a lot of this was morphed because of the week 11 results. Gotta love it.
Yeah, I do. It's going to be so much fun. Then, all right, we'll take our first break. We got coming up. We already got some scores rolling in from the east side of the state.
Yes.
We'll get you down and tell you some of the big games happening tonight that we've not talked about. It's going to be a fun night of high school football. So do not go anywhere right now. You're listening to the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by our friends at Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy.